happy fall, y'all. Today is October 1st. Officially the first day of fall, right?
No, that was a couple days ago.
All right, well, what's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode. This is episode number 13. Ooh, spooky. Yeah, so today we got George.
Yo.
Minnie in the house.
Hello.
And your boy Lalo. So we're back at it again, guys, with another podcast. And today we have a really, really fun coffee origin today. Do you want to talk about first what we're sipping on? Not really.
Yeah, you talk about it.
All right. Cool. So I brought two coffees from my work, Koba, and I'm glad that we're doing this coffee origin because it's a very special one right here. So we have two El Salvador coffees. They're the same origin, the same bean, but one is a natural process and one is a wash process. The natural gets left inside the cherry, George, right?
Yep, they get left out, pretty much left to ferment and dry up, and then finally they use the bean.
And when they wash all of that, what's it called?
They wash the actual fruit away from the cherry away from the bean.
Which means, in a nutshell, that the natural is going to be a lot more fruitier. It's called El Isco from El Salvador, and then the wash process is going to be more earthy. And right now I made George a V60. Well, we made two V60 brew methods, and George is having the natural and I'm having the wash. So far, what do you think?
Let me try yours.
Yeah, let me try yours.
And I want to try the natural.
Oh, there's some fruit in yours, in the finish.
Yeah, I was going to say right away, as soon as I taste yours, it's a lot more what you think coffee tastes like.
Yeah.
You know, balanced. You know,
it is
not over the top coffee, but you know, very balanced. And then when you taste the natural, you taste fruity, lot more.
I trade you.
The natural is really good.
The natural,
yeah,
it's really good.
You like
good.
The natural more?
Yeah, I tasted that. What is it?
The finish, the fruitiness,
the wash, and I was like,
Well, it's crazy because the Ishko, the natural one, was so fruity that they decided to put it as a fruity espresso option. Offering so mm-hmm. We'll have this one next to the Colenso and then the Kenya, the African coffee. Mm-hmm. So very interesting. I think it's cool for the customers to see just the difference between the wash process. So I think it's a interesting coffee for everyone to taste.
That's cool. Why did Koba bring two of them like that?
I don't know, actually. Maybe I have no idea, but I'm assuming maybe the farmer had already just did two processes and hey, you just want to offer this at your cafe? I don't know. Oh, that's a really good question.
I think that was the first time I compared a washed and a dried process, actually.
Yeah.
You can really taste the difference.
Which is
important. Yeah, that is. Yeah, you can tell right away. That's pretty cool.
Because it's literally the same coffee, just different process.
Yeah.
Which puts into perspective how important that is, the wash process. Mm-hmm. The process, yeah.
Do you guys know what the other process is?
To wash, semi-wash. Isn't there one called the honey, something like that? The honey wash?
I know the wash process, and I know the dried process, that's it.
Spit it out, homie.
Yeah, might have to cut it out, because I know there's one more, but...
I thought you were testing us.
Yeah, I know, I was he's nodding, so I'm like... What is it, George?
So it's a dry process, semi-dry process.
Wash, natural, and honey.
Told you. Oh, I got them all right, homie. Didn't I?
No, yeah, I knew it was honey, but okay, but what is honey?
Honey.
But what is that?
Honey is they take them off the fruit, but they leave the perp. Yes or no?
Let me see.
Boy, I know all my stuff, homie. So woo.
So what'd you say?
I said honey process is when they leave the perp. The pulp.
Perp?
The pulp.
Got that perp on. Honey, so it's halfway between wash and natural, so it's fruity, but not in the exaggerated way as some of the naturals. Semi-wash, you remove the skin, and you kind of leave the rest of it dry to dry out.
What's the honey?
Yeah, so that's what it is, semi-processed, but they call it honey because it literally brings in honey, sugary taste into the coffee.
But you don't see that. You don't see that too often, right?
Nah, not that I've seen.
I wonder why.
Mostly I see washed. I think it probably costs a lot more money, right? Like, if you think about it, what's the easiest way to do it?
Just let them dry out.
Or
not, wash it. Not wash, because washing, you have an irrigation system, costs a lot of money, and it's a lot of water being wasted.
But on the other one, you got to wait for the cherry to dry off.
And it also depends.
Inconsistencies.
But it also depends on the origin, because if you're a desert.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I think I remember learning that in one of the brewing fundamental classes, is like, depending on the origin, if they have a lot of water resources and rain, you're going to do mostly that stuff. So, yeah. So today, George's going to be talking about the El Salvador origin. We've already talked about the Philippines. Sorry. We've already spoken on Vietnam, Vietnamese coffee. We've spoken on Kenya, Colombia. Is that it? Anything else? Mexico as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's about it, right?
That's it.
We've spoken on all of those coffees, and today is going to be El Salvador, a very popular coffee origin. So, George, the mic is yours. Or one of them.
It was always mine. I'm going to start with some quick quiz questions that you guys should know. So, if you guys get these wrong.
Oh, man.
Because we went. This is like part of the first couple of episodes. Okay. According to an Ethiopian origin story, coffee beans were discovered after what animal became energetic after eating them?
The goat.
A goat.
Dancing goat.
Good one.
Come on, man. It's kindergarten. Hey,
these are, this is going to jog a memory, like, so we always have these.
Oh, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
True or false? What?
Nothing.
Oh. I'm just going to skip that one. Something like that one. Which ingredient is not found in a cappuccino?
What do you mean, which ingredient? Well, which one out of all of them?
Espresso, steamed milk, whipped cream, or milk foam?
Whipped cream.
I concur. What kind of booty, homie?
Hey, you never know. What beverage is made by adding hot water to espresso?
Americano.
Americano. Nice. Italiano.
That's for the homies, like, if you're new to coffee. And you start, like, forgetting what these things are.
Yeah.
Jog the memory back. So, just a couple questions. I think we should keep doing that. What's like, up? Little questions that just keep, like, reiterating.
Yeah.
Like,
what we've learned sometimes.
Yeah. But anyways. So, today, as we already talked about a little bit in the beginning, we're going to be talking about Salvadorian. Salvadorian, is that?
Yeah.
Right. Salvadorian.
Right. Salvadorian.
Or Salvadoran,
mm-hmm.
Salvadoran coffee. So what number is it on the coffee list for the most production
Damn.
Of the world?
27.
No.
I'm going to say at least
13.
Ooh, that'd be a good guess.
13?
Huh. I'm going to say 19.
It's 19.
No, really?
Yeah.
How'd you know that?
Huh?
How'd you know that?
I was trying to think, because which one was 17? Wasn't it like.
Talk about it.
Yeah, we just talked about Mexico. Was it Mexico? Which one was 17? Kenya?
Wait, how many are there in the first place? I remember
that we didn't talk about one that is the one that we just did, and that is like 17, 16.
Uh-huh.
Colombia?
No.
We just Costa Rica.
Yeah.
I was thinking, how often do you see El Salvador at your coffee, at your local coffee shops? And I'm like, about 19 times out of
so, you divide the number of
coffee shops. No, but in all seriousness, I really thought about that. Like, how often do you see Salvador? And I said about 19, because you don't see it too often. I mean, it's a popular coffee, yes, but I mean, at least I don't see it too as often as I
too prominent.
Think you would see it.
I had no idea. But wait, how many, like, what's the highest that list goes?
Well, it could be anything. Yeah. Really? Any place that makes coffee.
Well, how many countries do it?
50 states.
That's how we sounded last podcast, about the aphrodisiacs, homie.
About the
the aphrodisiacs.
Got a bunch of comments about us talking about aphrodisiacs.
Dang,
aphrodisiacs. Yeah, dude, this freaking list is long. It doesn't have numbers, but... Look at that list.
Come on.
Oh, dang.
All right.
Wait, can you test the theory? Is it 19? Wait, which is the first one?
Which is the first one?
Yeah.
Dang, you guys should know. I don't remember.
I remember. What's the first one? New Zealand.
Brazil.
Yeah. Ooh. What's number two? Okay, you guys are going to know this one.
Colombia. Golly. Cool. In Brazil. Oh.
The first one in our series. Vietnamese.
Yeah,
see. Yeah, homie. Yeah. See? And you're making fun of the quiz questions, but you don't remember this, homie. Okay, what's number three?
Indonesia.
Africa?
Colombia.
Oh.
Africa. But Africa's a whole continent.
I know. That's what I'm like. You said Africa.
Like she said
San Diego.
Earth.
You said Africa.
Hey, I got the first two questions right.
Yeah, that's true.
You got them wrong.
Okay.
So. That's true. That's true.
Weird flex, but okay.
So, coffee production in El Salvador has fueled the Salvadoran economy and shaped its history for more than a century.
That's crazy. I'm
rapidly growing in the 19th century, which is the 1800s. Coffee in El Salvador has traditionally provided more than 50% of the country's export revenues. It's pretty crazy.
That's how it is for most third world countries, right? Yeah. It's coffee or agriculture. Mm-hmm. That's always...
it's like the driving force behind their economy. And yeah. It's pretty crazy that...
Crazy.
Something that we just take so lightly as coffee.
It's somebody else's, like, countries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's how they
depends
eat.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yields of green coffee, a Salvadorian specialty, declined in absolute terms from 175,000 tons in 1979 to 141,000 tons in 1986. 19% drop attributed directly to decreased levels of investment caused by war. So 1980s was when the whole, you know, civil war started happening around.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of people died. And it went from 175 to 141. Thousand tons being produced, and actually, you know, I think about I'll talk about it a little bit later on, but in El Salvador, like, they were crazy good at being able to, like, produce the most amount of beans that they could, like, good quality beans with, like, the area that they had, like, you see,
like, maximizing, you mean, like,
yeah, exactly, maximizing their you know, the process, all the stuff that, you know, to try to get the most amount of beans for that area. Like, they were super good at that.
Wow.
Since the 2000s, the industry has been greatly affected by increased competition from other countries on the world market, whose cheaper coffee beans have caused prices to plummet. Mm. Coffee was first cultivated in El Salvador for domestic use early in the 19th century, but by mid-century, its commercial promises were evident. And the government began to favor its production through legislation such as tax breaks for producers, exemption from military service, like for coffee workers, yeah. So you don't have to go to war.
Because they need them for the economy.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow.
It's like a give and take. And elimination of export duties for new producers.
Wow, that's
by 1880, coffee had become pretty much the sole export crop. This is pretty crazy how, like, you know, Costa Rica, we talked about it last time. Is the same thing happened, like, they started seeing the value in coffee producing, and the country was smart about it and said, hey, we're going to put all this money behind it, the support behind it, so that these farmers, you know, can make some money out of it. Unlike those of Guatemala and Costa Rica, the Salvadorian coffee industry developed largely without the benefit of external technical and financial help. So a lot of their, you know, the whole industry itself didn't really go on the backs of, you know, other countries having to help them. It was kind of their own, you know, just. And I think it just comes back down to, like, the whole, you know, like, when you have to eat and this is your way of survival, like,
yeah,
you're going to make it work. El Salvador became one of the most efficient coffee producers in the world. This was especially true in the large coffee fincas, where the yield per hectare, they call it, which is, like, you know, kind of like a square, increased in proportion to the size of the finca, a rare occurrence in plantation agriculture. So, most of the time when you have a crop, you never really
get the full
max efficiency, right? Because you know it's the earth. You can't control it 100%. You can tend to it and all that stuff, but at the end of the day, it's earth.
Yeah.
And it might give you rain, it might not. It might give you good soil, you know, all that stuff.
Which is huge for a farmer, because
exactly
each like plant is like a salary or whatever, you know what I mean? It's like a huge part of their what they're gonna make.
Yeah, exactly. So the effect of coffee production in El Salvador. Society has been immeasurable, not only in terms of land tenure, but also because the coffee industry has served a catalyst for the development of infrastructure, roads and railroads, and as a mechanism of integration of indigenous communities into the national economy. So not only like was it like the driving force behind it, but they were pretty much building the entire country around like
coffee.
Yeah, and like what it says right here, like roads and railroads, like the fact that they you know, develop roads and railroads to be kind of working together with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty crazy to think that it was all around coffee, just because of the amount of money that was being produced because of coffee. So I'm just gonna keep going. It's just a little some history that is very important to El Salvador. In the decades prior to the civil conflict of the 1980s, export earnings from coffee allowed growers to expand production, to finance the development of the cotton industry and establish a light manufacturing sector. So not only was it so successful with coffee just itself, it like gave the finance to be able to start a cotton industry in El Salvador and establish a light manufacturing sector. According to the Salvadoran Coffee Growers Association, besides controlling the sales of coffee, Let me back up a little bit. El Salvador is very, there's been a lot of, so the civil war in the 1980s, there's been a lot of like change in power.
Yeah.
Right. And when that happens, different laws get made, you know, especially when you have a dictatorship not like a president with like laws and stuff like that. They can kind of do whatever they want. And this new kind of like, thing came into the Salvador where they were just kind of like, okay, now these people own this land, and now these people, and now you have to work.
Right.
And they were pretty much becoming slaves, because whereas before they could just, you know, establish a farm and be able to produce their coffee, now that farm belongs to somebody, and now you got to work for him. And who are you going to give it to? Well, it's going to be the elite. It's going to be the rich people. Mm-hmm. So the rich people stay rich and the poor stay poor. And like the poor, you gotta freaking work and pretty much be a slave to even make money like you were before, to even eat. So I just wanted to touch on it because right here, this thing called INCAFE also charged growers export taxes and surcharges to equal to about 50% of the sales prices, and was often late in paying growers for their coffee. They were taxing people like
late.
It's like the whole thing of like, you know, like you know, back in the day, you know, like Roman times, all these things were like they're taxing people up the butt, like they're barely making enough money to eat. And then like, let's say they had a bad weather and they didn't grow enough, they still gotta pay the tax anyways. Same. You know what I mean? And then like when the association that controls the taxes makes up the rules, and you can't really do anything about it. So then in the 1920s and 30s, coffee exports alone totaled 90% of the country's exports. So that was in the 20s and the 30s, totaled 90% of all the country's exports. However, what seemed a smart strategy during the boom years appeared foolish during downturns and a global depression of the 1930s. Global depression means everybody was going through the depression. Mm-hmm. I mean, the U.S., all that stuff, right? Pushed El Salvador to the brink. With coffee prices dropping to one-third of previous levels, coffee producers cut wages by half, while others dismissed their workers altogether. So, they couldn't pay their workers. So, a lot of them lost their jobs. And then coffee rotted in the fields because nobody could work to maintain
coffee
them.
Rotted?
Yeah. So, the coffee just started rotting away.
Nobody was taking care of it.
Yeah, nobody, not enough money to pay people to take care of it. And you have that much land. Good luck taking care of all of it. Yeah. Unemployment skyrocketed. Rural discontent turned to anger, and for 3 days in January 1932, tens of thousands of really, really poor people organized an open insurrection in western El Salvador. And I just wanted to look up insurrection so I give you guys the exact definition. Insurrection, a violent uprising against authority or government. So for 3 days, they rose up and attacked the government, kind of like, because remember again, like, is it really a government when you're a tyrant, when you're a dictator, when you're just controlling all the laws, like the rich stay rich, right? And of course, what happened is a bunch of them died. Their actions were met by bullets, and 30,000 people died in La Matanza, El Salvador's worst massacre.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
30,000 people died. Dang, this is because, you know, depression, no food, no money. People are just trying to survive. So coffee growers also suffered from guerrilla tax, extortion, and the imposition of so-called war taxes, quote unquote, during the 1980s. So not only are you like being put down by the government, but imagine then like now
the threat back on your face.
Well, not only that, but like, okay, if there is, okay, let if you don't trust the cops, who are you going to call when robbers come? Right. If the cops are treating you crappy. Right. And then if, you know, like whenever we see like these crazy things like in Mexico and all those like the
narcs.
When remember all the strikes were going on. Remember how many stuff we saw in the news of like people looting the stores? Like they would just break into stores and start jacking them.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember that or no?
Yeah. During the Chicago police officers.
Yeah. Then, but in Mexico too, when they were striking for like the new presidency or something. I don't know if you guys remember that. Dude, there was a bunch of videos of people going into stores and just jacking them.
What the heck?
People just jacking cars, like all this stuff. And it was because, like, when there's chaos and war going on, kind of there's, like, nobody to uphold the law. So what was happening is, like, then these little groups called guerrillas, right? They come to your field and they say, hey, give me all this money. Or we kill your daughter.
We'll give you protection.
Well, that too, yeah, right. But, like, imagine them just extorting you. Like, hey, give me this money or I'm going to kill your daughter. And, like, good luck getting the government to, like, you know what I mean? So it's, like, not only is the government freaking, like, you know, you're under the government's foot, but then now you're also, like, getting extorted by a bunch of, like, guerrillas and, like, pretty much gangsters at that time. So these difficulties, in addition to their direct impact on production, also decreased investment. So also, if you're a rich dude and you see that this freaking industry is going down the toilet, obviously you're not going to put more money into it. So not only are you not even receiving the same funds, you're not making as much. You can't have the people to tend the coffee. And then now you're not also not getting investment. So under normal conditions, coffee growers replace at least 5% of their coffee plants each year because the most productive coffee plants are between 5 and 15 years old. Many coffee growers in El Salvador, in an effort to avoid further losses, neglected to replant. So they brought their coffee quality down because they didn't have the resources. Like, how am I going to replant this, right? Yeah, let's say the 15 years are up. But how am I going to replant this? I'm not even making money. So what does that do? Then it brings the quality down. And it's just like this freaking, you know, like just downhill. Cycle. You're trying to fight an uphill battle. And your kids are still not able to eat. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's so many things on top of
replanting is because they have to wait a bunch of years for the plant to be able to give fruit, right? That's why it's like it's an investment like for the them. Best.
Yeah, like, and, lose money. And I think too, it comes down to like, I don't know too much about agriculture, but from what I've read, even from growing up as a kid, is you want to keep the soil healthy. So that means, you know, you got to tend to it and all that stuff. And obviously, a plant that's been there for years and years and years, maybe it's not the best. I don't know that much about agriculture, but that from what I've read, it's, you know, 5-15 years you want to replant them, and they stopped doing that because it just cost too much money, and there was no money in it at that time. So something that I wanted to hit on for El Salvador is actually pretty cool, is that El Salvador's coffee is grown in shade coffee plantations, and around 80% of El Salvador's forests are associated with shade coffee plantations. Do you guys know what shade coffee is?
I would assume coffee that grows in the shade.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I don't know if you guys remember, we hit a little bit on when we talked about Costa Rica.
Costa Rica.
Remember about the birds and all that stuff? Oh,
yeah. How they don't, like, tear down their homes.
So, do you know why shade coffee is better?
Shade coffee, I'm assuming because it doesn't dry out as quickly.
Mini?
I don't. I would guess something about birds.
Birds.
I don't know.
So shade coffee, and you guys can look this up. Shade grown coffee is better for the environment and requires little or no chemical fertilizers, pesticides, or herbicides.
Interesting.
Because the trees produce their crop more slowly than sun grown coffee, many people also believe that this yields coffee beans with a superior flavor. I think that one is kind of like like the whole. The things that are worth getting, like, take a while. Mm-hmm. Or, like, what is that saying? Like, yeah.
Things that are worth waiting are worth having.
Yeah.
I just said it with so much confidence.
The things that are...
Yeah, whatever is worth
good
waiting.
Good things take a while. Good things, you know, like,
good things
anything.
Come to those who wait.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. But, you know, just in general, time, you know, for a lot of things, mm-hmm. time... is like at the end of it produces a better product.
Yeah.
And so shade grown coffee, it's the same thing that they believe with it. And I kind of looked up like what kind of places have shade grown coffee.
Yeah.
And it's actually a lot of southern, so like Mexico, Salvador, Peru, Panama, Nicaragua, Guatemala.
Oh, Panama.
They're all like primarily shade grown.
I don't know. I totally forgot about them as the coffee producers.
Then Sumatra, Timor, New Guinea,
yeah.
and Ethiopia are mostly shade grown too, as well.
Huh.
And so that's like another thing that I'll keep in the back of my head, like when I try out new mm-hmm. coffee, or when I'm comparing it to other things, just like, I wonder if this is shade grown or not. Milling process is mostly washed and sun dried, which is what we have today. Natural and washed.
Yeah.
Mostly sweet, fruity, floral, spice, sweet honey, citrus, chocolatey. Their body is very round and the acidity is bright and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read this, the body being round, like, I definitely taste that with the washed one. It's very like balanced, full body. Like,
yeah.
It's like very, I would say like, I always think about like what you expect coffee to taste like.
Yeah.
And that's like, that's what gives me, it's not like over the top fruity.
It's like kind of what it smells like is exactly what it tastes like.
Mm.
Yeah.
The Ishko just pulled up the notes. It's a distinct separation from Finca La Huachoca. This one has a unique and delicious with notes of grape juice, berry preserves, and chocolate fudge. That's for the natural.
Natural?
So grape juice, berry preserves, and chocolate fudge. It's weird. It has those, and then the chocolate fudge. Then the wash process, that one has rich chocolate, butterscotch, peanut brittle, and sparkling pear juice. Such weird descriptions.
I'm always so like amazed like at these descriptions, these notes. Yeah.
It's insane.
I always think, like, whoever wrote that, is there anybody who disputes it? Like,
that's what I was thinking. Like,
sure.
How many people like decide those notes?
Right. Like, I'm sure they come to. I'm sure they have people copying them. Different people copying them, and then if like whatever sounds close around to that, they kind of like round it up or something. Round it up.
Imagine the person who wrote the flavor wheel.
Oh, they're different notes. Yeah. Something we can get into later. History on.
That's a good one. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the processing, Salvador green coffee processing. The majority is washed. So I wonder what the percentage is between the naturals and the washed. And I also wonder if I was right about the washed being cheaper and that's why it is mostly washed.
Yeah. What is it? Salvador like a rainforest? Not further. Don't they have a rainforest?
Like a little, I don't know.
Aren't they more like a tropical? No, not tropical, but frick.
Like a lot of a lot of trees and stuff. You mean like a lot of
like a rainforest?
Rainforest.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's a rainforest.
Oh, Salvador is about 5% rainforest.
5%.
Somebody ask.
And it's crazy too. I was reading right now. It's 0.4% of the 0.4% of the entire coffee grown worldwide.
4%?
Crazy. No, not even 4%. 0.4%.
Oh. Oh, what the.
That's crazy, huh?
Wait, say again?
Salvador grows 0.4% of the coffee grown worldwide.
0.4? It's a pretty good percent, so.
0.4?
It's less than a 1%.
Yeah, but like to make a difference in the
coffee. But I'm just saying, like, it's number what again?
Oh,
number 19.
Yeah.
Number 19.
Damn, that's crazy. So how much, like, imagine like the higher.
I wish I was super good at math so I could do the math on like the first 19.
And how much of a difference it is.
Crazy. Well, that just tells you how much Brazil grows, how much Vietnam grows. What do you guys think El Salvador would be if it weren't for those wars to happen in the coffee world?
Where would they be?
Yeah.
If they didn't have the wars?
Yeah, like reading about like how good they were at growing the stuff, like the high quality of it.
I think probably a bit more touristy.
How much money they made that they were able to like do the cotton and all that kind of stuff back then?
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
Because think about Brazil. What's the size difference between Brazil and Salvador?
I think Brazil's way bigger, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think.
Well, it's just, even with, like, all the war going on and, like, gang violence, just, like, it sucks.
Yeah, but where would they be?
I think they'd be going up the ladder. They'd probably be, like, in up in the... Oh, you mean like talking about like the coffee list. Production?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was talking about.
Yeah, I was like more touristy.
El Salvador is about 405 times smaller than Brazil.
How much?
405 times.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, they're probably still being like in the.
But it's just very interesting 18? Because Brazil is very bad too with like their crime. Like,
oh,
it's super
certain
bad.
Certain areas, right?
No, it's like really bad.
Don't they do a lot of, like, what is it?
Like, Rio de Janeiro?
Yeah.
You can look up videos on YouTube of people getting jacked daylight.
Like, pickpocketed and all that kind of stuff.
But, like, literally at 12 p.m., like, half day, there'll be people getting jacked on the streets.
Crazy.
And I wanted to go to Brazil, too.
But then again, you can't blame them because the government kind of screws them over. And this is getting very political.
I know.
But I think this kind of, like, always reminds me of, like, one of the big reasons why I got into coffee was because we really wanted to highlight the farmers and like all the work they put into like even in the midst of gang violence and government crime, all that stuff. Like the fact that we get to drink this coffee and there's farmers out there that are still being taken care of their farms and really cherishing what they have.
Mm-hmm.
I think that makes it so much more important for us to really speak out on these different coffee origins that have had a lot of injustice and they're still trying to push forward. And there are companies like Kova and a lot, thousands more coffee brands that are working with these farmers and at least playing a part or doing their part and trying to help out, in a sense, the certain people and parts of coffee origin, I think.
And I think we have that responsibility. It's like not even it's about like really like, quote unquote, supporting the farmers, but... like I feel like we have that responsibility of doing that, like not just like quote unquote again to help, but because like they deserve it 100%. Like the fact that they put in so much care, attention to something that is so delicate too, as well as coffee. I think we have like a responsibility to at least share their story,
give them credit for what they do.
Yeah, yeah. Share the care that they have for the coffee.
And because we got it good in the U.S. So you know what I mean? Like, we got it really good. And I think it's just us doing a little bit of our part to highlighting these coffee origins that is tough out there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, with that being said, it got a little dark in here.
But yeah, so that kind of does it for El Salvador. again, we can always go deeper and deeper. Mm-hmm. And maybe actually I would want to revisit this one.
Yeah.
Just because there's so much history that comes with it. So much that I didn't talk about, just because it gets very political. But two, it's also very depressing. And like, it sucks that somebody had to go through that. It's, you know, yeah. There's even now, I'm sure people still going through some people stuff like that. People
are fleeing the country, right? Because of
exactly. I mean, like
war and violence
with the whole recent
the caravan. Things,
yeah, the caravan stuff going on. Like you know, we come from Mexico, you know, and it's crazy that could have very easily been us. That could have very easily been us having to flee from El Salvador, flee from, you know, wherever their, you know, people are coming from. But you know, now that we have the opportunity to be here and to show light and on people who are still out there, like farming coffee and all that stuff, it's awesome that we get to share their stories. And it was obviously an honor for me to like even read about this stuff and like share a little bit of their story. So I would definitely like to revisit it.
Yeah.
But for now, that'll do. If you guys have any questions too, by the way, let me know so that next time when we do bring it back,
touch those subjects. Yeah, heck yeah.
Now we're gonna go into some Instagram questions. By the way, thank you guys for sending those.
Yeah, usually before every podcast episode, we put a little question ask
comment
sticker on our story so you guys can throw some questions, and we got quite a good amount of questions, so George can read those out for us.
Cool. So we're gonna start it off with Owen, and then it's like a little face. _Scrimner. What's your favorite fall coffee? I'm gonna let Minnie answer that one because she smiles right away.
She's been saying it though.
She's been saving
it. No, I haven't. I'm not a fan of like pumpkin spice, but like for some reason today I was like, I really want a pumpkin spice latte. But I think it was because everyone was posting like happy October, like, but my favorite, like during the fall, a cinnamon dolce latte. Oh, that's from Starbucks. But never mind. Just anything with cinnamon though.
Anything with cinnamon.
Yeah.
Cinnamon.
Like cinnamon.
Do you remember that little cereal?
Yeah, the cinnamon.
Cinnamon. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like a Rasta cinnamon.
There's people who didn't have cable back in the day.
Yeah, never mind. No, it was Apple Jacks.
Yours?
That's what it was.
Yeah. How about yours?
For me, it's just a pour over.
And that reminds you, that's a fall drink?
It's an everyday, every season drink, homie.
Ooh, we got you on that. For me, actually got a hot coffee like for the first time in so long, like
finally,
a week ago.
George, you've been drinking. I know. Concerned.
For you guys that don't know, I work out in the sun a lot sometimes, and just like having to drink hot coffee after that, I just don't. But last week I got a hot cappuccino. It was really good.
A cappuccino.
But I think that's gonna be my fall drink: cappuccinos
with the flannel on. Call it a fall drink.
Cappuccino. I don't think that's what you meant, but okay.
I know, but I don't know exactly what he meant. But thank you, Owen.
I think he meant more flavors.
Obviously, that was just being sarcastic.
You guys can't think of like a flavor.
I just never chase them.
Pumpkin pie. We've tried the pumpkin pie one.
Which one?
The pumpkin pie.
I guess you want to talk about that. At the press, we had a chocolate.
Yeah, no.
Almond joy.
That's not a fall drink.
For me, it's banana bread. Talking about flavors.
Nothing to do with fall.
Dude, but just banana bread.
Or the chata latte, homie.
Banana bread with the cappuccino is so
good. Yeah, Puerto Vida latte was good too. So I'm sorry, Owen. I just don't really explore the fall. But I will, just for you, man. I got you.
I'll do the exploring.
And talking about that, that reminds me, for this month, we have a deal with my friends. We are all like cutting something off. We're doing like Sober October. And I'm doing sugar, so I can't do sugar. Like I can't.
Oh, is that why you asked if it was sugar-free?
Yeah, that's why I asked if it was sugar-free. But that means that I'm gonna be doing only pour overs, cold brew, like all that stuff, just for this month.
Yes.
But no flavors for me.
Oh man, but thank you, Owen.
HJ Solorzano Ugo, the homie, as
Solorzano.
Solorzano. How's life for each member?
Dude, actually, that just reminded me. It was so awesome. This guy, he came in with some flowers, like a bunch of little flowers. Mm-hmm. And he asked me, he was like, hey, how's life? And I'm like, oh, it's actually, I'm like, so far so good. I told him, can't complain. And then he goes, okay, well, I just want to let you know that that you're important to me and that you're valuable and all this stuff. And then gives me a flower. And he was doing that to like every person on the street.
How
but,
cute.
Like, what's crazy is like, how's life? And that kind of hit me. Like, kind of hit home. Like, when does somebody ask you, how's life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's deep, man.
Or even care what you say.
Well, I was going to say, how many people ask but don't? Like, yeah. They're just like, they just look like,
yeah. Like, okay.
At the times where like you ask and then they start giving you a life story and you're like, damn it,
like, like, oh, okay.
No, but like to, yeah, that's cool, like to generally ask. Yeah.
Life's good, real good. I get to wake up in the morning, make some soup.
I like to lay in bed.
I get to
by myself all of my life.
It's the best. It's fantastic. That's naturally it, by the way. But yeah, life is good, I think.
He said, I think.
How's life, Minnie?
How's life?
Life is great.
Yeah. Great.
George?
Great.
Nice. See, I can't complain either.
Yeah. As long as there's breath in me.
I like these questions because sometimes it's hard to step back in the high speed of life that we live. Thank you, Hugo, for that question. Jan sees Nettles Garcia ask, when will there be more merch?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Funny you ask.
It's funny you ask.
It's soon.
No.
What? Okay, yeah, but.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
ooh,
so.
Funny you ask.
Yeah, so we have we've been very quiet lately, guys, and we've been doing a lot of work.
Speak up, homie.
Sorry. I'm too shy. Quiet. We've been doing a lot of work beneath the surface. We've been doing a lot of like work in the secret. So
behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes. Yeah. In the secret.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah. So it's funny you ask, because we are getting ready to launch a new design, which is really, really dope, really, really cool. We think you guys are really gonna love it. Mm-hmm. Expect it sooner than later. But it's gonna be a limited quantity. So if you want one of those shirts, or if you really want to buy one of those, be sure to send us a DM and send us your size so we can set one aside or have that size in mind. But it's going to be limited quantities, and we want to do just a one-time release. So once they're gone, they're gone forever. So that's the way it's going to roll, guys. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be coming out very, very soon. It's going to be it's going to be a hot design. So hopefully you guys would dig it. We'll be sharing it on our story very soon, so that way you guys can vote out the one you guys wanna be rocking. And but thank you for asking. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very excited.
Yeah, it's fresh.
Donicia asks, opinion on matcha lattes.
No. That's my opinion. I just don't like matcha. I had it once and I feel like gag.
I've never had it, but I know I don't like it.
What?
Ooh,
at least I said
that? No, it's just I don't like the color. I don't really I'm not a fan of green tea. Unless it's like what is it, Arizona tea? Green tea.
Arizona. Yeah, your opinion is invalid.
No but I just I've tried something matcha before, like it wasn't a matcha latte, but it was something and I didn't like it.
Interesting.
I'm not a fan of the flavor.
George likes it.
No, I've only had it once. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I feel like I gotta try a little bit more. Maybe I had to do just like maybe what I got, but I don't know.
I think it's like coffee though. Like you have to go to like a place that actually does a good matcha latte.
There you go.
I think so.
Suggest some places, and I'll try it.
Yeah, I'll try it.
But have you had it or no?
I think I had it once. I think it was a ice drink though.
Mine was iced though.
I
don't know. Aren't they all cold?
No, they're summer hot.
No, they're hot.
Oh.
Did you see the green latte art with the white?
I'm going to try one.
Yeah, I see those all the time.
Booty. I'm going to try one and I'll let you guys know.
I hear people at Starbucks asking for it all the time.
Matcha.
Not that I go to Starbucks,
that's
I wouldn't
what
know.
I tried. It's like a long time ago, I tried like the green tea. Because matcha is just green tea, right?
It's matcha.
Wait, I'm trying to.
Matcha is matcha.
Really?
It's a green powder.
Green
drink.
Tea.
Yeah.
Ground into powdered form.
Yeah, so see, I tried a green tea, like Frappuccino from Starbucks.
Okay, that just sounds wrong all around. I'm
no,
sorry.
No, because some people, I don't know. A green tea Frappuccino. And that's why
I like, have seen those though. That's what I'm saying. I see people ask for matchas all the time at Starbucks.
But it's like what did we talk about? What did we talk about? Like when we hear something bad about like
don't say anything until you tried it.
No, remember with the Hawaiian coffee? You guys were saying
the stigma.
A stigma.
By the way, we kept saying a stigma. That's the wrong word.
It's a stigma, right?
I never said a stigma. No,
a stigma. What is it? a stigmatism is like what I have with my eye.
I'm dirty.
A stigmatism, that's what I have with my eye.
What
like,
are we
saying? Have, huh?
What is it supposed to be?
A stigma. But it's not a stigmatism.
It's embarrassing. Stigma. Okay, let's get out of here.
Good thing I didn't say it.
I keep hearing it in the other podcast. I was like, oh no. That's the eye thing.
Barnacles.
Yeah.
I think I heard.
But you're saying that we have a stigma with matcha.
I have a stigma with matcha.
A stigma.
Yeah.
I can never use that word again.
It's almost, I feel so bad because when we were recording the podcast, I heard you say it and I didn't correct you.
Wow. I am an immigrant, but thanks.
So that's what I always say. I was born in TJ.
Yeah, homie, you can't blame me.
What does dream coffee shop look like? She also asked. Unlimited money.
Unlimited money.
Rose gold everything.
Rose gold everything.
You're crazy. Girl, you're crazy.
I think I would have, just to keep it simple, I would keep it, I would have a very huge place with a lot of, live performance space.
Ooh. I would say
and a bowling alley.
A bowling alley. I would say like right next to like a rainforest, like a waterfall. So while you're drinking, you can see like the waterfall and monkeys eating coffee beans and then you poop it right in front. No, but I was saying just like outside of like
you put it right into your cup from the butt.
No, but you like as you're literally drinking your coffee, you look out to the window, like open window, and it's like a waterfall, rainforest.
What about a coffee shop?
Sleep on that.
On a coffee farm.
Wow. That's actually pretty cool. Wow. Like, I never thought about that.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Interesting. You could do a whole presentation, like from farm to cup.
Yeah.
Moving on. Daniel, thank you, Denicia, by the way, for your questions.
Yeah.
Daniel_Santos. What would you recommend a newbie brewer to start using for brewing, Chemex or V60?
Oh, man.
Chemex.
Chemex?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I feel like it's easier.
I was going to say for personal experience, I would say a V60.
Really?
V60?
For me, it's easier just because I have the, like, the amount of water. Like, what do you say? What do you call that?
The ratio,
but like
the grams.
Yeah, I guess you would just call it the ratio. Just like the amount of stuff that you'd be using can be replicated like very easily and a lot more measured.
Yeah.
Than Chemex, just because of Chemex, like, I mean, it depends what you have, but you have the big one. You can make multiple coffee, and I don't know. It just like it's more room for more options, and I feel like V60 is like okay. One cup.
Yeah.
You know, make it every single time the same exact way.
That's true. Yeah, I would say, besides that, I would say depending on what you're going to be using it for, I guess, if you want. Yeah, I would say V60, a smaller cup. But even then, it's like, what I'm starting to realize is that different brew methods bring out different, like, flavors and whatever, like, or body. So I think depending on, like, what kind you would like, Or I think you should try both and see like, okay, I really enjoy this taste and just work on that one brew method. I think it just depends which one you get exposed to first. But I guess if somebody's asking me which one should I get, I would say I guess a V60, yeah, just because it's smaller. But I don't really mess around with those.
AeroPress is even easier for me.
Oh, true. Yeah.
Daniel also asked, what's your favorite method of brewing coffee?
There you go.
While we're on the subject, for me, it's AeroPress. I just like it. Simple.
Chemex, that's all I do.
Maybe doesn't.
Chemex. Hey, yes I do. Okay. Yes I do. I pick Chemex. That's my favorite brewing method.
Yes, it's your favorite drinking brewing method. You don't brew.
Never stop brewing, okay? Like that, homie.
Huh?
Are you exposing her like that?
Gotta keep it real with the listeners.
Do you roast your own coffee? I do.
Georgie does.
We'll announce a little bit more later on with when we start doing our merch.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, in short, yeah, I do. Just to use a little home Hucky 500.
They're coming out pretty clean, though.
They're pretty popular home roasters. To start on, you guys can find a bunch of videos on YouTube. They're pretty cool. Maybe I'll post one soon.
Yeah, should.
But yeah, so thank you, Daniel, for the questions. Appreciate it.
Heck yeah.
Too petty. Period. Nara.
Hold on. Hatcher's a stripper.
This too petty. Dot Nara. Jesus Christ. Is it Nara or Nara? Nara.
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 You can say another name.
No, I'm gonna say
too petty. You gotta say what it is. That's your Instagram handle. You pick that, you live with it.
If you could be reincarnated into an animal, which one would you be?
Oh, I don't believe in reincarnation. No, I'm just kidding. So good.
I would say
you can go first.
Probably a doggo.
A doggy?
Yeah.
An elephant.
Elephant? I think a dog, yeah. A dog.
Oh, you have to get taken care of most of the time.
Maybe a cat, just because you're so dependent. And as an animal, you kind of have to. Unless you're wild. I don't know.
Yeah, or a sloth, just sleep all day.
Bird?
Nah. You gotta be flying around to North Pole.
True, you're tired, huh?
For rainy season, right? Yeah.
I think they fly south, bro. Don't they fly south?
We make ourselves look so dumb.
You gotta be moving.
Don't they fly south? Yeah, they play south, dude. They play north.
North.
Thank you, too petty. Not real for the question.
Too petty, don't know.
Why are you so petty, though?
Too petty for you. Why are you petty, though?
Economics asked, how are you celebrating International Coffee Day?
Making a coffee podcast. Right? Doesn't get more coffee than that.
And then on Sunday, we went to Por Vida.
Por Vida. The homies.
All the homies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The whole fam went to Por Vida.
Which you guys really have? Good. A hot horchata latte.
Horchata latte. We told you last time.
What is it?
Horchata. The H is silent.
Horchata latte.
Yeah.
There you go.
But it was
you have some horchata right here from...
Super good. Don't expose me.
Did you have yours?
I had... What did I have? I think it was just a vanilla latte. A lot iced.
No, you had it hot, homie. Didn't you have
no,
hot?
He had iced.
No, I think iced. Oh, yeah.
I had iced.
And David had the...
chocolate
oh,
what was it,
sage. Yeah. It was pretty good.
That was pretty
actually
good.
Yeah, interesting. I had the Por Vida latte
with oat milk
because I'm self-diagnosed lactose intolerant.
Okay.
Next question.
Thank you, Economics, for the question. Sweet Lou _ have any of you guys tried Panama geisha beans?
Are geisha beans a kind of
all
beans
from Panama?
I think we need to get a little fact check, but we've had geisha, some kind of geisha beans. I just remember they're Panamanian.
We had geisha.
I thought you were looking at it on Instagram.
Hacienda La Esmeralda, located in Boquete, Panama.
But is there, so it's just Panama geisha?
I think so, yeah.
So yes, I have.
Yes, I have.
It's fruity as heck. Is it best? That's the one that I'm thinking.
Delicious as heck.
Geisha is the purest coffee that money can buy, and Panama is home to the magical bean.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, then we did.
Oh, shoot, at Public Square Coffee House.
Yeah. It was really good. It was
expensive, too.
It was.
Every time I go to Public, man, it's so good.
Yeah, they do a good job.
It's been a while since I've never had a bad
coffee. It's been a while since I've been to more coffee shops, honestly. I know.
All right, homies, thank you for listening. This has been another episode 13 of the podcast. We'll be revisiting this podcast. We'll be revisiting El Salvador probably later time, just because there's so much history that comes with it.
Right.
I think we're gonna probably have to do the same with Ethiopia. There's so much to talk about. But until next time, thank you again, guys, for all the questions. We appreciate you guys interacting with us. It's always fun. But yeah, thank you.
Thank you guys.
Till next time.
Thank you.
Peace out.
Peace out, homies.
Bye.